last week when I'm going to refer a number of times in this service to how incredibly hard it is to prepare worship in this really strange sort of way. But we're here. We're here to worship our God. Our God who is the provider of all that we need. I'm going to use as a call to worship now three verses from a hymn that I found on the Methodist Church website. A hymn which is called Christ Be In My Understanding. And I think Georgia has the words for this on the screen, but I'm going to read it for us now. Christ be in my understanding. Christ be in my words and deeds. Christ be where my footsteps take me. Christ be provider of my needs. Christ be in my waking moments at the dawn of each new day. May I see the light of your presence shine in those I meet today. Christ be in my busy living, in the challenges I face. May I look for signs of wonder in each every time and place. So now let us pray. As we come before you, our Lord God, we are conscious of how great you are, how wonderful and mighty, beyond all our understanding. And yet, you provide for us. You give us all that we need. You show us the way. You give us the life. You are there in our understanding. You are there in our words and deeds. You are there where life's journey takes us. And you provide us with everything. And yet, so often, we don't acknowledge this. So often we fail to do those things that you want us to do. We fail to say those things that you want us to say. And we do and say and think things that we should not. And yet you so love the world that you have given us your Son. Your Son, Jesus Christ, who came into this world that we might be forgiven, that we might have life and have that life in all its fullness. So, Lord God, we're sorry. We're sorry for those times that we've failed you, and in failing you, we have failed ourselves. Grant us that knowledge of your forgiveness. Grant us that hope of being able to be better people for you. Give to us your light, your life. For we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, for all that you have done, all that you have given, all that you are. We thank you for our homes, our families. We thank you for our church. We thank you, Lord God, for the gift of Jesus. So be with us now. As we worship you, as we reflect on you, and as we see you in the world around us, we offer these our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. now we're going to have a hymn which, hopefully, if everything is working well, Georgia should have on a YouTube clip. It's a hymn. It's the hymn, "Only by Grace Can We Enter."
Only by grace can we enter. Our first reading, our Old Testament reading, is from Exodus chapter 16, verses 2 to 15. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out of the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out to gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not. On the sixth day when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on other days." So Moses and Aaron said to the Israelites, "In the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard you complaining against the Lord. For what are we that we complain that you complain against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard you complaining that you utter against him, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining.'" And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked towards the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I've heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' And in the evening quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there was on the surface of the wilderness a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.'"
We've got sort of two thoughts that we're going to think about this morning. This first section is, in my mind, whether it's in your mind, entitled "God Provides." And we heard just then that very well-known passage from the Old Testament about how God provided for the people when they were complaining. God provided for the people when they were complaining. I'll come back to that thought a little bit later on. But as people of God, as Christians, we talk an awful lot about grace, about how God provides. And I think that is something that marks us out as Methodists in very many ways, about how we look at God's provision for us. And I remember many, many years ago, somebody giving me a little acronym about the word grace: God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. In this strangest of strange years, we've probably experienced all kinds of emotions. all sorts of times and places when we've thought, I didn't think I would ever be doing this in this way. I didn't ever think that this sort of thing would happen. Even yesterday morning, as I spent about an hour sat on the floor in a shop in Chorley, it was something very strange that was going on. A strange situation that we found ourselves in a series of strange situations. But as we've experienced all sorts of emotions, we've seen all sorts of things around us that perhaps we haven't noticed before. As earlier in the year, I'm sure many of us were out on our walks, our exercise walk, we noticed the effects of spring. What happened in spring to make the world a brighter place? Looking through the changing seasons, looking through the wonder of God around us. And one thing that I've noticed this year, which I perhaps have never noticed to the same extent before, is the number of trees that never came into leaf this year. I don't know why it is, whether in other years people have cut down those trees, pruned those trees, got rid of that dead wood. But there are many places where I've noticed trees that are just bare sticks. And even this year, we've done all sorts of events in different ways. We've missed things that we usually did. And perhaps we've enjoyed a break from things that we usually did. There's been happiness, sadness, joy, fear, sorrow, hope, doubt, anxiety, expressions of love, expressions of compassion, expressions of the love of God shown through people in many ways. When I offered to take services on the reopening of churches, I thought that I would have lots to say, lots to share, a message of new life, new hope, a message of the love of God, that love of God shining through adversity. And although there is all that, it's been so incredibly challenging to put together an act of worship which is meaningful for us all. How do we worship without the joy of singing? How do we worship while we're standing still? And I'm very conscious that I'm not standing very still here. How do we worship behind a mask? How do we worship without being close to each other? How do we avoid that feeling of isolation, of separation, that feeling of being cut off from our family, that feeling of being cut off perhaps even from God? How do we see that God provides? What does God provide? We've had so far just one of the lectionary readings for today. This lectionary reading that spoke of God providing. God providing for his people, even though they were there complaining about what was going on. We read all the lectionary readings for this morning. We'd hear a lot about what God about the provision God makes for his people. The provision that God makes for us. Not just people of biblical times, hundreds or thousands of years ago, but people of today. People of today living through this pandemic, living through this situation in which we find the world so strange. People facing restrictions in their lives. For us, facing new challenges day by day. But God gives. He gives faith. He gives hope. He gives love. God gives Jesus and God gives life. This unearned love of God in Jesus Christ, freely offered to all people, is both the foundation and the very heart of our worship, the very heart of what we do as Christian people, the very heart of our new life in Christ. It is this grace that is expressed in God's saving action towards us, and nothing of our faith can ever be outside a response to what God has given, outside a response to God's grace. We might all think that life is tough at the moment, that we cannot do what we want to do, we cannot be the people that we want to be. We might feel that we've been forced out of our comfort zone, forced to do something in a different way, forced to participate in remote working, forced to participate in ways of remote learning, forced to participate in remote meetings. And perhaps, in some ways, we feel like we're those people wandering in the wilderness, wandering away from God, directed from God, being with God, all sorts of different ways of feeling the world around us. The Israelites were in exile, wandering, grumbling, complaining, feeling hard done to, turning against their leaders, Moses and Aaron. It was all better before. It was all better before. How often have we heard that? It was better before. How often do we hear those in charge are getting it all wrong? We should have stayed the way we were. But even when they were complaining, even when it seemed that nothing was to their liking, God was there. God gave. They were hungry. God gave them food. We are hungry and God gives us that spiritual food that we need. When this strange bread, this strange white flaky stuff fell from the sky, God provided for them. But they didn't recognize what it was. They didn't know what it was. What is it, they said? It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. Perhaps we don't recognize it when God gives us things to eat, things to chew over, things to mull over. We do not hear when God speaks. We do not see when God shows himself to us. But we know. We know that God provides. And as I said before, God gives. God so loved that he gave his son. And who did he give his son Jesus to? Every one of us. To all people in all places, in all times. God gives to the world that the world might have life. And that great big God is a God who we know. So we're going to move now into another song, a song which is probably very hard to experience without wanting to show how great and big God is. But it's the song, Our God is a Great Big God, and he holds us in his hands. Becky George there, who produced that video, has produced a number of songs with signing in Makaton. As we are restricted in how we communicate, Becky George has tried within the last 6 months to produce a huge number of these songs that are all there with signs that we can use. And if anybody was doing a sort of an analysis of my internet usage over the past week or so, you'll see that I had looked at a number of these songs and I could have filled perhaps the service with signing. Signs of how God holds us in his hands. But we're now going to have another clip from the wonders of YouTube, where we have the words of Psalm 105, and I think there is an error in this clip, but I think it starts off saying it's Psalm 150, but it's not. It's Psalm 105, and it's a psalm which is about God's faithfulness to Israel, and reminding us again about that provision that God makes for us.
Give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, and make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him, sing praise, praise to him now, tell of all his wonderful works, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who sing the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence now. Seek his presence continually. Remember all the works he's done, miracles, the judgments he's made. Offspring of his Abraham, and the children of Jacob, chosen ones. He is the Lord of God. He is the Lord. He's the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He is mindful of his covenant, of the word that he commanded always. The covenant he made with Abraham, his sworn promise to his children, an everlasting covenant, saying to you, I will give the land the Canaan. He is the Lord our God. He is the Lord our God. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth.
He is the Lord our God. It's quite difficult to know how that we respond. How do we respond to what God has given to us? And when I was preparing for today, once again, I started, as I often do, with a blank sheet. And that blank sheet stayed blank for many hours. How do we respond to the love of God? We each respond in our own individual ways. How did we respond to the world being turned upside down? We all responded in our own individual ways. How do we decide what it is that is important and what we could put to one side? How do we decide how to move forward? How do we decide how to move on? God has given us so much, and we, as I say, respond in different ways. We respond by looking often for a way out, looking very often for a way to not respond to God, a way not to do what God is asking us to do. We respond by thinking perhaps that somebody else will do this thing, thinking that perhaps somebody else will take matters forward. We respond by thinking that we are unworthy, that we are incapable, that we are not the right person. Today is Battle of Britain Sunday. Today is a Sunday on which we think of peace. If we look through the calendar of church Sundays, we can see all sorts of different events that we celebrate, that we commemorate, that we look at in our church calendar. And this year we've missed 6 months of all that. We've missed 6 months of events. Events that have been special in people's lives. Events that are perhaps never able to reclaim. But how do we respond to God? I don't have the answer. I can't say how you should respond. I can't say how anyone should respond. God provides for each one of us in his own way. He calls on us to respond in our own ways. And so our response is very much like that blank sheet of paper that I had. It seemed like a good idea when I thought of having our thoughts in two sections today. That God provides and how we respond. We can look at God providing and see those things that God provides. But how we respond, is that for me to say? We've looked at God's riches at Christ's expense. So now I'm going to turn to a time of prayer at the end of this thought, of this reflection, when we are going to individually reflect on what our response is going to be. So a word of prayer. Loving God, I pray that the world might know your grace. As we begin to inhabit a new normal, we pray for the wisdom of the leaders of the world, that the powerful nations might respond with that self-giving generosity that you bring to the world. On this Peace Sunday, We pray for all who respond to your love by making the first move to call an end to conflict. And we pray for those caught up in conflict, those who flinch at the sound of explosives or gunshot. We pray for those returning to collective worship. And we pray for those who feel unable or excluded from that worship. We ask your blessing on those close to each one of us. Even in these distanced times, that you would give us the opportunity to reflect that grace first shown to us. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you would give us the wisdom to know the way. Give us the wisdom to follow the footsteps. Give us the ears to hear the voice. Give us the eyes to see the light. So, Lord God, may we respond. May we respond to you in knowing that you are our God, our Lord, our Saviour. Amen. Just before we come to the close of our service, I'm going to read another chapter from Philippians. Philippians 1, verses 21 to 30. For to me, living is Christ, and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labour for me, and I do not know which I prefer. I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you, since I am convinced for this. I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation. And this is God's doing, for he has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well, since you are having the same struggle that I saw I had, and now hear that I still have. For me, living is Christ, and dying is gain. So now just a short time of prayer as we bring our prayers together with our prayers for the church, the prayers for the world, our community, prayers for ourselves. And we sum these up in the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. So now let us pray. Lord God, we have so many needs, and yet we know that you provide. We come with our prayers for the church, for the world, for the community, and for ourselves. We pray particularly for the church as it seeks to re-establish itself, to work in new ways, to be new people, to be a new light for your world. And yet as we look out into the world, we often see darkness. We fail to see hope. We see people suffering in many, many ways all over the world. And we see people suffering too in our own community. But we know that you are here with us. You are throughout the world, throughout all people. You are our God, our Lord and our Saviour. And so, Lord God, as we pray for our community, we pray for those who we know and love. We pray for the sick and the suffering, for those seeking new direction, and for those facing new challenges. We pray for those young people taking the first steps into the world of work, of university, of change, of difference. We pray for people looking to settle in new places, in new homes, in new communities. And we pray for all for whom that is a struggle, who find each step, each day, each move, something which is a challenge. But Lord God, you are here with us. You are that great big God who holds us in the palm of your hand. You are wider than our understanding, broader than we can see, and yet you love us. And so, Lord God, we pray. We pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us when we pray to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So now as we draw our service to a close, we have another hymn which the wonders of YouTube have put in front of us today. What shall I do, my God, to love? Now, Lord, you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. Amen. Thank you.